Welcome to the VAT update for November 2016. And in this month's edition, we look at five interesting developments, as well as a gentle reminder that the autumn statement to be delivered by Philip Hammond will be on the 23rd of November. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, which in themselves contain links should further research be wished. We start with Somebody Moldovan trading as Craft Carnival, and HMRC had lost at the first tier tribunal in a dispute concerning whether Craft Carnival made an exempt supply of land or whether the major supply was one of services in organising a craft fair, and if it was services, it would be standard rated. The upper tribunal looked at this because there was a contrasting decision, being that of Judge Peter Kempster in International Antiques and Collectors Fairs, who had found that the fee charged to the exhibitors who book spaces at antiques and collectors fairs fell to be standard rated. So the upper tribunal made a decision of precedent overturning Craft Carnival and saying that what was actually supplied was a supply of services, organising and advertising and running the Craft and Garden Fair, and it was only a minor element, the provision of a pitch. In the light of Edwards v. Bairstow and Harrison's, that's quite a decision of the upper tribunal, but I think it's probably correct because there was a significant responsibility for organising a high-quality, expertly-run craft and garden fair, and it wasn't just the provision of a pitch, which would have been a licence to occupy land, and the upper tribunal concluded it was a standard-rated service. In a case which seems to be quite unfair, the upper tribunal was asked to consider whether HMRC were right to raise a VAT assessment in respect of six cars, and the VAT totaled 27,151 because HMRC did not accept the evidence which the taxpayer had presented that the cars were bought with the intention of being used wholly for business purpose, and indeed employees' contracts of employment said they were prohibited from using the vehicles for any private purpose. This was Zone Civil Engineering, and they needed Toyota Land Cruisers to tow equipment and go off-road. But they also had a Mercedes saloon car. HMRC appeared to ignore the fact that the two directors of the company had high-quality cars, being a Volvo and a Mercedes, and their wives had similar high-quality cars, so that there were two cars available to be used privately by each of the two directors. And that gives credibility to the intention that there was not intended to be any private use of the company cars. In addition, the company had actually accounted for output tax on the sale of the vehicles, which confirmed that the company believed they were intended to be used and used only as company vehicles. But HMRC said there was no evidence because no logs had been kept to show that the vehicles were not used privately and therefore disallowed the input VAT which the company had claimed. The tribunal found in favour of the taxpayer because HMRC didn't really have any evidence to support that contention, and that's quite surprising in the light of the greatly improved professional standards generally exhibited by the appeals unit when they take contentious cases. The professional bodies, all seven of the major bodies, have cooperated to update and publish a new professional conduct in relation to taxation, and there are significant developments because they have looked at the public interest and said that no professional advisor or member of these bodies should be encouraging or promoting egregious, aggressive, artificial tax avoidance schemes. At 55 pages, it's a must read and it will come into force from March 2017 onwards, so there's a little time. I always feel hesitant when looking at place of supply rules because I find them complex and difficult to interpret. And in Sports Direct, they had been operating a system whereby customers in a foreign jurisdiction who were actually subsidiary members of the group company arranged delivery, and so it was said that the supply was made in the United Kingdom. But HMRC were not happy with this and referred it to the EU VAT committee, who concluded that the destination principle should apply and that the company should require to register an account for VAT in the foreign jurisdictions. But HMRC would not make a repayment of the VAT which had been paid in the UK until it received evidence that the company had made good the VAT in the foreign jurisdictions. The appeal was actually about whether or not the tribunal had jurisdiction to hear the appeal and whether or not there had been a decision. And the tribunal ruled that there had been a decision which was appealable, but suggested that it should be referred to the European Court of Justice to deliver the correct interpretation of Article 33 of the directive and to see what other EU states thought. There's an interesting case about transport, and I would have thought that this had been resolved many years ago after all the cases like the Blackpool Pleasure Beach and cars to airports and cruises and train journeys. But Sailing Projects looked at whether or not Sailing Projects Limited were providing transport when they leased a yacht to a company, Adventures at Sea, which provided training. And the HMRC argued that the people on board were training as crew members, whereas the company argued that they were merely passengers and going on trips on the yacht, and therefore this was entitled to zero rating within item 4 of group 8. There was a separate contract, and Sailing Projects Limited leased the boat to the Adventures at Sea Limited, and consequently this meant that what was actually being provided by Sailing Projects was a boat which was being used to transport people, otherwise known as passengers. They were not crew, and therefore it was correct to zero rate it. Thanks very much for listening.